Imagine making a video game so bad it crashes the video game market.
All right, bonus.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Brian Blackmore made that.
Classic.
And I got to tell you, we heard it this morning around 5, and we must have sung it 1,000 times before 6.
As a ringtone.
You'll be annoyed by this before the end of the segment because I just love playing it. All right, so today's Bad Idea Island, Ruth.
Yes, so welcome back to Bad Idea Island. We are covering the world's worst ideas, and today in honor of our video game, we're talking about the very worst one. So in 1982, fresh off the success of the Raiders of the Lost Ark video game, Atari had a genius idea. They thought, let's slap E.T. on a cartridge and cash in again. There was just one tiny hiccup. They only had 5 weeks to make it for the upcoming holiday season. So they had developer Howard Scott Warshaw pulled off the miracle by finishing on time. But the miracle was a game that was confusing and joyless. And instead of adventure, they got bottomless pits, vague instructions, and the creeping realization that the fun might be a lie. So it sold at first, but millions of copies were dumped into a New Mexico landfill, and they remain there to this day.
Wow. Yeah. That was by the developer. They're like, no one can have this.
Yep.
Wow. I wonder if like one's like worth money now today, like one that's like untouched, unplayed.
So I have a cartridge.
Oh.
I have a cartridge. Funny, someone gifted it to me this weekend, actually.
Huh.
That's
before
weird.
Before you guys even told me you were doing this.
Damn.
Like,
wow, that's weird.
That's very bizarre.
The fact that they have it.
Right.
Yeah, so I have...
And the timing.
It's a pristine cartridge, too. It looks really good. Like,
what's the premise? What are you supposed to do?
Okay, so...
I love the... Besides
burying a landfill.
Okay, so you are E.T., and you land in your ship. Now, keep in mind, this is Atari, so everything is, like, blocky.
By the way, if you don't know this is E.T., it looks like an intestine.
Yes.
It does. That was, like, cut out of somebody and thrown on a road.
Yeah, block, and it
walks. Looks like a living booger.
Yeah.
It does.
Its footsteps are like... Boop, 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 and you're walking all around the map.
Like a banana.
As soon as you try to do anything, you fall in a hole. And then you try. You can fly because you're E.T. Because E.T. can fly in the movie, I think. I don't think he can fly.
On the bike again.
He's on the bicycle.
Yeah.
Why was that on? Why could he only do it on the bicycle?
Because of Elliot.
BMX professional.
Yeah, because we're trying to get away. And
the power of friendship.
Everybody else heard that too? Phil's been taking over.
You know, that whole movie... Now that I think about it.
Right.
Wait a minute. You can fly that whole time?
Yeah. Right. Except for the one time. Yeah, the one time when he's in the bicycle and he's covered in the basket, all of a sudden, now he can fly.
That's his.
That's
his feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's his little feet. So he flies out of the hole, and then as soon as you're at the top of the hole, you fall back down the hole.
Right.
And you're stuck in this pit of despair and time, because all you're doing is flying out of the hole and then falling back down the hole. And then when you finally find your way out of the hole, there are two people on this map who are trying to stop you. There is the doctor and the FBI agent, and they constantly grab you, and they will steal all of your stuff. So the whole point of the game is that you're trying to find three pieces of E.T.'s cosmic telephone, another plot point that was just missed in the movie.
Phone home.
Right. And that's what you have to phone your ship, and then your ship will land and pick you up and you
win. And that's level one?
Yeah.
Or that's the end of the game.
You have to keep doing that in every level.
It's actually a metaphor for life.
It's impossible.
It's a metaphor for life.
It's impossible to do. I played this game for, no joke, an hour last night, trying to complete one level of this game.
Just one level.
It was a nightmare. I played it on my Twitch. I was streaming live to people so they could watch me try and complete
this. Do we have some of that?
Yeah.
There it is.
Just not. The mythology of this game is bigger than this actual game and really better than the actual game, because this game is just... I can't do anything.
You sound mad at us.
I got the little FBI guy. I got the holes. I got Elliot. He's constantly showing up. He's doing nothing. He revives me for 1,500 points. I walk out of the hole. The surgeon comes to grab me. The FBI agent comes back. He's hitting a moonwalk. I'm trying to eat candy in the candy zone. I'm trying to call Elliot. He doesn't show up. We fall back in a hole. I'm over it. Okay? I'm over it.
Now, how was the game?
Apparently, there's like candies you can eat to gain power.
Of course. Got to get that marketing in there.
You can only eat them in the candy zone.
Oh, Reese's Pieces. Yeah.
Yes.
But when you eat them, what kind of powers do you get?
You don't get any power. You just gain more life. So you start the game with 9,999 power. And then every step you take, your power is decreasing.
Right.
So you have to eat candy to keep your power
to boost your power up.
And sometimes you'll just die walking around because you run out of power.
Now that's a metaphor.
Yes, it's awful. It says the game had vague instructions and a cryptic system of power zones that changed controller's function, which is confusing both for kids and adults.
We looked at the, I actually pulled up the original instruction manual too for the game, trying to figure out this game so I could explain it today. I still can't explain it. It's utter garbage. It belongs in a landfill.
They say it created a disoriented, frustrating, repetitive experience.
And it crashed the video game market?
Yeah.
So supposedly at the end of the 80s going into the 90s, the video game market kind of just tanked. There was a ton of games for Atari. Atari was leading the way in video games, and then it just kind of, the bottom fell out of the whole industry. And people blame the fact that licensing was just kind of rampant with, like, okay, here's an Indiana Jones game. It's crap. Mm-hmm. Here's an E.T. game. It's crap. It doesn't matter as long as we sell the game.
People just felt like because they made a video game, people would play it. They didn't realize that it had to be good. Like, for a while, people were just making things. They're like, just put Jurassic Park on it, and it doesn't matter.
It'll sell. Yeah. Who cares what it is?
It says, without the included instruction manual, the game was nearly impossible to understand.
So if you put the phone together, would then you get to the next level?
Yes. So if you get three pieces of the cosmic telephone.
You could call Elliot, and he comes. No, the spaceship.
You call the spaceship. The spaceship comes. You have to make it to the landing zone while the FBI and the doctor are chasing you, trying to take your cosmic telephone.
So the phone isn't a guarantee.
It's not.
The phone summons the ship.
Once you have it, you have to run away from these guys while calling the ship.
And remember, you can die by walking.
And you can die by walking.
Cause of death, walking.
Yeah. And then when you get on the ship, you get points, and then you move on to the next level. And I guess those points stack. So, like, you want to do it in as little time as possible, and lose as little energy as possible.
That sound effect you just played, it sounded like you made four steps and made a duty.
Yes.
That's him falling in a hole.
He didn't walk.
Luke Letizia is on the phone right now, and he saved a guy at the Guilford Library. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, man.
First of all, what caught my attention was people were in the library.
Right. No one goes to the library anymore. You won't see us in the library anytime soon.
Yeah. Like, people go to the library?
I forgot they existed. Yeah.
Yeah. So what were you doing in the library?
So, I got up that morning and I was going to study for the MCAT. So I've been studying this summer with one of my good friends, Mike, at the Guilford Library. We go and get up decently early, get there pretty early, and grab a table and just get going on our studies. He's studying for the LSAT, I'm studying for the MCAT. But there's always a good amount of people there. It caught me by surprise the first few times as well, but it's a nice place.
So you're there. You're an EMT?
Yes. Yeah, I have my EMT license. I had taken the course 2 years ago, became certified, but I've never actually worked as an EMT.
Okay.
Until
so
today.
You've never.
Yeah.
So you did chest compressions on the dummy.
Right.
But never on a person.
Yes. Yes. Gotcha. Exactly. Yes.
Big difference.
Okay. So what happened?
So I got to the library, and within about 2 minutes of me getting there, I heard a big crash. A younger gentleman came running out of one of the other rooms on the second floor and alerted that an older man had fallen over. Along with the librarian, I just rushed over on just an instinct and saw the gentleman face down in the ground. I told the librarian I was an EMT. She alerted the young man to call 911. I rushed over upon he was face down, but upon flipping him over with the help of another man, I checked his pulse. He had no pulse. Ooh. He wasn't breathing. So I just began doing what I knew and began the chest compressions and asked someone to get an AED as soon as possible.
Man, that's dramatic.
Were you doing Staying Alive as you were doing it? Because they say that, that's the rhythm of the song.
Yeah, they do say that's like the song and the beat to keep to it. And it is actually super helpful, along with just like kind of knowing knowing how deep to go with the compressions and keeping a steady rhythm. It is very difficult, but I think once you're trained, it's something that kind of stays with you, that feeling and that motion. But was
how,
able
long,
to
how long did you have to do the chest compressions before they brought the machine over?
Yeah, so I was doing chest compressions for probably about three to four minutes. And
that's
then,
a long time, by the way. It doesn't sound long.
Yeah, like forever.
It's a long time when you're doing chest compressions.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. But then once I got the AED, I had the older gentleman who had gotten the AED for me. He had taken over the chest compressions briefly while I set up the machine and attached the pads. And then I took back over and it said administer shock. So I administered shock and then
damn, so you are good.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, no one even thought of that.
I appreciate it.
That but, is this guy's the luckiest guy to have a heart attack that day. To do it 2 minutes
right
after you arrived. In the if he did it earlier,
yeah,
probably wouldn't have made it.
He'd be dead.
Yeah, it's scary. That's the thing that I've been thinking about. It's just kind of like the timing of it all. But I'm just so grateful that I was there at the right time and that it worked out the way it did, but he soon got up after after the shock and more chest compressions, and then the amazing like Guilford first responders. Thankful to them, they got there super duper fast afterwards, so they got him out and to Yale New Haven super quick.
When you do the paddles, you have to yell clear like they do in the movies.
Yes, you do actually, because it's you don't have the paddles. It's like a padding that you attach to his body,
right?
But you have to like for everyone around, because if anyone's touching the body of the person receiving the shock, you also get shocked.
Oh, okay.
And there's some crazy, crazy stories of EMTs accidentally touching one part of the body and also receiving a shock. So
how bad is the shock?
Your underwear will tell.
Does it knock you out?
Yeah, it can definitely be super dangerous. So that is something always to consider when using like the AED.
Yeah.
And I've heard of stories of even like the shock, unfortunately, killing people.
Oh! But then you just transfer and work on them really next, dangerous. Or what?
So then after the shock is administered, what you're supposed to do and what you're taught to do is just immediately resume CPR. So that first moment, I just kind of closed my eyes and went back down to doing it. But wow.
And then how long do you wait before you do the next one?
So the AED is like a pretty unbelievable like tool, because it analyzes the heart rhythm for you. So like the paramedics would know how to administer shocks, or doctors who are monitoring the heart, but the AED actually does that like within the machine, and then will tell you if they recommend administering another shock.
Got
so
it. That's great.
These machines are smart.
Helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at some point into this, he wakes up or he regains a pulse.
Yes. So while I was doing compressions, as the first responders arrived, he kind of almost regained full consciousness as I'm like pumping onto his chest. And then I checked pulse and breathing, and he was back. And then they took over the scene and got him right quickly out of there. So it was pretty amazing.
And he's okay. He survived, and he's fine now, out of the hospital.
Yes. Yes, from what I know, he's doing well, and back to his health and is solid from my understanding and what I've heard. So,
have you guys talked?
Very grateful.
Since that happened, call me.
I have not yet talked to him, but hopefully we'll be able to, and just want to make sure he is A-okay and kind of see a new light of the situation. I think would be very nice and positive.
Luke Letizia is on the phone. He's a 22-year-old student, and he saved a man's life at the Guilford Library. Just happened to be there.
Yeah.
Happened to have the right training. Yep. Stepped right in, did all the right things, and now this guy's alive.
Yep. Lucked
pretty
out.
Amazing.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so what do you want to do?
Yeah, so I'm studying for the MCAT now, and then I'm planning on applying to medical school, and eventually I want to be a pediatric oncologist.
Okay.
So...
Man, that's important work.
Yeah, very important.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think it's super cool. I volunteer at Yale New Haven. I really love just hanging. I do more fun stuff now, so I'm grateful for that. But I get to, like, hang out with the kids and help out and deliver toys. So it's a pretty sweet gig right now.
Yeah, we did a tour of the children's section there.
Yeah.
And
nice, yeah.
Boy, man, that stood with me for a long. I still think about it.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You see these little faces. It's like, no.
Yeah. No. On kind of occasion, I run them all the time at the hospitals too, you know, little kids, you know, at Smilo. And you see them. It's like, wow. The kids are so, like, you know, like, full of life and everything. You're like, wow. It's like, how could this be happening to a kid, you know?
Yes. Yeah. It's unbelievable and amazing. Like, it's truly inspiring, like, to be with the kids and, like, see just how resilient they are and how strong they are. And then even just thinking about, like, being in their shoes and how we would all feel. It's unbelievable how strong they are. I think that's, like, the most inspiring thing day in, day out for me.
Man, you're so together for 22. Your parents must be.
Yeah, I was just at my team.
Really, what's the deal over
here?
He's
like 40 years old. Come on.
Let me guess, you're like a star athlete too, right?
No. I could not play too much sports. I capped out at, like, JVB basketball.
Okay.
I did have fun.
All right, good. I feel better about that. All right, so he's not master of everything.
Okay, fine.
It's like too much good stuff going on here with Luke.
Seriously.
All right, well, you got saving a man's life on your resume now. That'll never go away. Congratulations, brother.
Great work.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
very
man.
Glad it worked out.
Yeah, thank you. If I ever run into you, I'd love to shake your hand.
Yeah, hold the paddles.
So much.
Hopefully, I'm not laying down when I see you.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. And you're holding paddles. Yeah. I want to hear it clear.
Yeah. Hey, keep us posted on your progress.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Nice job, Luke Letizia.
Nice.
Guilford, 22 years old. What is going on with that kid?
Seriously.
We need more kids like him.
Right.
He really does. Like you said, he's got it together.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and he's not like, oh, wait, let me see what TikTok says to do here.
Wait, let me do a selfie first with this guy.
He's like,
look, selfie.
I got it.
Right, selfie with this guy.
I got to hit a TikTok dance real quick on him. Maybe he'll come back to life.
AJ, describe being catfished.
Being catfished is usually, like I said, it's someone who reaches down to kind of lie about what they do, and they kind of entice you to be with them, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. I didn't think you'd even get close.
That was good. Yeah, that's not far good. Off.
We used to call BSing back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really an astronaut, honey.
I'm rich.
Exactly. They just gave a different name, catfishing. It's called being gullible. Yeah. That's what happens, yes.
Dr. Michelle Parker is in studio, associate professor, Fairfield University, marriage and family therapist.
Oh.
Boy, you got some stories.
Seriously,
yes,
yeah.
So many stories.
Yeah.
But I keep secrets for a living. I don't listen and tell.
Oh, that's gotcha. Right. That's good.
Well, no one would want to talk to you.
Well, did you see that special unknown number, the high school catfish on Netflix?
Yes. We're going to have spoiler alerts, though.
Yeah. You got to, like, if you're going to watch this, which I think you should.
Yeah.
Turn the radio down.
Right.
Step away because we're going to ruin it right now.
Exactly. Right.
It's a 90-minute thing, so it's pretty quick.
Yep.
They could probably chop 15-20 minutes off of it.
Right.
But it was very compelling.
I did not see that coming.
I'm watching it last night,
uh-huh.
And I'm 5 minutes in, and I was going to text Ruth because I know she already watched it. Uh-huh. I was going to text, it's one of the parents.
Right.
And then you see all the parents, and I'm like, okay, it's not them.
Because, same, exactly.
Right.
Because they wouldn't be in the special.
They wouldn't be in the special.
Like a junior
they wouldn't
sleuth.
Be in the special.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then every friend they showed, uh-huh. I'm like,
that's the one.
Nope. When you see them on the special, unless they're in an orange jumpsuit,
oh,
it's not them.
Gotcha.
So every friend, I'm like, oh, it's not this one.
Right, right.
Even though they have a compelling timeline.
Right. Who could it be?
This looks about right.
Yeah.
The dead giveaway for me was in the texting they were showing. There was punctuation use. So oh. It's an adult.
Right.
It's someone not who, yeah. It's not a Gen Alpha.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because usually
this is an adult.
More educated person that does these things.
Well, apparently the youths, don't you really use punctuation yeah. in texting?
No.
And so that's an adult.
Oh, you picked yep. up on that.
It's like a run-on
sentence. That one.
Yeah.
Right. Holy cow.
The one emoji. Yeah, the youths.
But the shocker was, and this was, do you want to run through this? So this is a girl who started getting some horrible, she was dating this kid, really nice kid.
Yeah, they were
the
so adorable.
The families were friends, the two moms were just great friends.
Uh-huh.
And she started getting these texts right around the Halloween party.
Okay.
And it just got worse and worse and worse, and they were really bad. Like, this kid doesn't like you.
Yeah.
He likes me.
Hurtful.
And then
stuff.
They got dirty.
Yeah.
And then they got threatening.
So disparaging. Just horrible names. Sexually explicit and graphic text toward this teenage girl right. and her boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
So basically high school.
yeah. Yeah. The things any parent never yeah. wants to read that you're hearing coming toward your teenager.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And then the two moms, their missions in life became to do, you know, to find out who this was.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's what moms do.
And then the police got first the school, and then the police.
Yep.
Then the FBI.
Then the FBI.
Yeah,
wow.
FBI
okay. So that's that level.
Yeah. Right. That says a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, so the FBI got involved, and they got an IP address, and they attached numbers to it, because they had a number changing app.
Okay.
So
to try
it would
cover,
be
yeah.
all different phone numbers.
Right.
It turns out to be the mother of the daughter
wow.
who was getting the texts.
Really?
Her own
she
daughter?
Just, she didn't like the boyfriend? Is that what the deal was? She was trying to break them up?
No, I think that this was a woman who was infatuated with the boy.
Oh.
And loves attention.
Okay.
And what did they call it? Like Munchausen?
Munchausen is a mental health diagnosis. It's generally parents that will make their children sick
okay.
to get the attention
okay, I've
and
heard
the
of that.
Praise for being a great caregiver.
Right.
And once you saw the mother, I went back and rewatched it again to see the mother. You could tell she got so much attention and praise, and everybody felt bad for her. She's being such a good parent.
Yeah.
You could absolutely see it just falling apart.
Yeah, that made sense.
Yeah.
Addicted to praise, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then here's the crazy part. They put her. She's in it.
Yeah.
So she signs up for it, which
from
says she's still not fixed.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So she signed up and she's sitting. She's in this thing right from the opening shots.
Yeah.
Sitting there. So you don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
And then when they get to the point with the big reveal, there's body cam footage so you can see her, you know, basically admitting it.
Uh-huh.
And then now she's in the room that she's been in this whole series and she's, you know, fessing up.
Yeah.
She says, well, everybody has broken the law and not gotten caught.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to get caught. Like, if you drink and drive and you didn't get caught, I'm like, this is not the same thing.
That's not close.
That, for me, was just all the criteria for catfishing just falling into place.
Yeah.
You find the dark triad characteristics, narcissism,
yep.
Machiavellianism. She's trying to be manipulative.
I don't know what some of these words mean.
Okay. Well, narcissism, it's all over.
I got that. I
know that one. Machiavellianism is one of the three dark triad characteristics, so very manipulative.
Okay.
Right. And then the other, of course, is sociopathy.
Right.
So lack of empathy, things like that. And so we see some of those characteristics in people who perpetrate catfishing. And right away, she was trying to use distancing language. In our own research, we found their catfish perpetrators tend to be very high on what we call impression management. So they want to be very in control of the management of how you see them.
Gotcha.
And she just launched right into it. The tears and I'm a good mother. I just was in a bad place. This isn't who I am.
You don't know my whole story.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares what your whole story is?
Yeah, I don't know me.
We know this part. That's all I really need to know about you.
Right.
That tells me everything I need to know.
And you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she ended up going to jail.
Wow.
Only a year and a half or something like that.
How much can you slap on someone or something like that if there's like no money exchange, things like that, you know? No murder involved. I mean, how much really can you...
Yeah, it was two charges of what?
Stalking. Yeah,
right.
Aggravated stalking. But just the waste of police resources alone, I thought merited more. The FBI got involved. Think about all the other things they could have been doing.
Yeah, the grief that that one person inflicted on all these lives.
Mm-hmm. And that poor daughter, I hope she is in therapy because she's still, you could see it. She wants that connection with her mom.
Yeah.
She's like, I want a good relationship. I don't know if I can trust her. We were yelling, no, you can't trust
run
her.
Away!
You
can't. Run you away! Run away! For God's sake.
Oh that's man. Awful.
Yeah.
Save yourself.
It's one hell of a special. Even though, if you were listening and now you know everything.
Just watch anyway.
It's still worth a watch.
Right.
Absolutely. And she's so convincing when you see her after she's been caught.
Yeah.
Just the tears and feel sorry for me.
Yeah, see, she wasn't convincing to me. I thought, wow, she's totally crazy and not fixed yet.
Yes. But you can...
Like, can you fix someone like that?
Pills.
That's a good question.
That's no. They can't come back. She's too... That's like the highest level you've ever seen, right?
That was pretty high.
That's high.
Yeah, it's very high. But I think also there are ranges. Like, is she ever going to be fixed and 100% okay and a functional member of
Would
society?
Would you trust her ever
again?
And how
not.
Dumb is her husband who... All right, all of this is going on.
Yeah.
She's not working for a year. She says she's telling everyone she has two jobs. She doesn't have any job. They're losing houses. They're getting foreclosed on. They put their stuff
notices.
In storage.
Yeah. Oh.
She loses the storage units. This guy's like, dope.
Right.
He knows she has two phones.
Right.
He doesn't even think it might be her.
I know. You see
nice
this,
guy,
though.
But a dope.
Dumb as a rock. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep.
You don't want to believe someone you love is capable of something like that. I think that's
exactly.
Yeah, but that's a over two years in a house with this woman. You're
Jesus.
Losing houses.
Yeah, you're in the denial.
You're having financial difficulties, but somehow you still think she has two jobs.
Right.
But that's the thing. When we have people who have been, victims of catfishing that lose resources, finances. I mean, the legal system is only just now even beginning to look into catfishing and what, role legal law enforcement has with catfishing.
But that husband should have known.
Aftermath.
He should have known something was up.
He should absolutely.
He should have known. He was too nice of a guy.
He was. Yeah. He was very nice. Yeah.
But a little bit of a dope.
Happens in a paycheck, honey. Where are they?
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Like, wait. How does she pull this off on you? She's at the not have a penny coming in.
She was getting up every morning, getting ready, going to work. She'd be gone all day.
Right.
Like, what? That's just the last thing anybody saw coming. Like, the entire community was shocked because she was such a good, very charismatic, caring person. Nobody had a bad word to say about her.
Wow. Basketball coach, baseball coach.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. I was blown away by that.
Wow. Pretty slick.
Blown away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so... you could turn your radio up now.
Oh, yeah.
So if you turned it down,
right.
You didn't know. I just said you could turn it back up. Talking about catfishing here, we have an expert, Dr. Michelle Parker, Associate Professor, Fairfield University, Marriage and Family Therapist. How would you describe dating in 2025?
Abysmal.
Nice.
She doesn't even have to think about it.
I'm going
to
look that word up. It doesn't sound good, though.
No, it's not good.
It's dire straits out there.
Wow.
I recently heard that Hinge is laying off 30% of their employees, and people are speculating that this might be the decline of online dating apps.
Oh,
why? Just because people don't want to do it anymore?
It's the stats aren't good. It's 80% men. Only 20% women who use it.
Like most parties we had.
It does sound like the parties we had.
We have girls coming somewhere.
Right.
I'm thinking of it as almost empty calories, right? I mean, they're delicious. They're great. But eventually you need that interpersonal face-to-face contact.
Gotcha.
To
yeah.
meet the needs.
And people have no manners now, especially if they're not. If they're dating online.
Yeah.
There are no manners.
Well, and thankfully, because that's my area of research.
Right? There's all making of money.
Yeah, we will not. Oh, no, there's no money in research.
Okay. Sorry.
This is academia.
No. Oh, no.
This is because we send out a questionnaire, and we sent her out a questionnaire, and it says, what are you stressing out about or obsessing about lately? It says, the state of dating.
Oh.
It's like a hot, juicy garbage dumpster fire, and we can't study all the disasters fast enough.
Wow.
Oh, no.
You should write for Hallmark.
I read that. I'm like, I can't wait to get her in here.
Is that the title of your medical journal?
That should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be your book. Absolutely.
I actually pictured it in my head.
But
it's very, it gives you a visceral image, right?
I'll bet you, because you look very young to be a doctor, and I'll bet that you have zero BS tolerance, right? Because this is what you do.
I see it
all day. You're probably very picky when it comes to dating.
I have not gone on a date in 5 years.
Okay. See what this did to you?
Right.
I go home and I go to work.
Right.
And then I come home and I go to work.
Okay. Is it because you're into your work or because of your research just turned you off on this whole thing?
Right. People that are like food safe, they're like, I don't go to restaurants. I can't do it.
I can't do it. I've seen the kitchen.
Yeah.
I can't go in.
It's ruined for me from now on. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't do online dating. I refuse. And so that's really one of the only ways to meet people.
You're working all the time. And
Yeah.
And online dating is a disaster.
Yeah, we're coming up with terms like ghosting. We recently had a really high impact journal study on fubbing. I don't know if you're familiar
with
this. So fubbing is a combination between phone use and snubbing.
Oh.
So it's, you picture the image. You're sitting there with your partner. You're each on the couch side by side, but you're on your phones.
Okay.
Okay, that was last night.
Exactly. Okay. It does not have a good effect on relationship outcomes.
Does it count if we're sending things to each other?
Yeah, we'd be texting each other.
Exactly.
That's why I save my voice.
Every now and then I'll say, here, look at this.
And hear a scream. What's that other thing, that new thing that's going on with dating? It's called Shrekking or something like that?
Yeah.
Shrekking, where like the person... I guess you're like higher than the other person or something like that. You think like you're like above this person you're dating or something like that.
And they're a donkey?
Shrekking?
I read last week.
Have you heard of this stuff?
I have not.
Yeah.
What sites are you going to, AJ?
Show prep.
He's searching Shrekking on Google.
Well, it brings up a good question, right? We were just talking about on the commercial why it's called catfishing.
Right.
It's a great question. I watched obviously the show that started all this on MTV's Catfishing, right? It's kind of what got us interested in this line of research. But in my mind, I didn't even ask the question. I was just thinking of how one of the methods of catching catfish is like noodling, and you're faking to get this catfish to sort of come hither. I never thought about it until AJ asked.
And I was like, AJ.
Okay, so
isn't it because of noodling and catching, right?
AJ, you had a good question. The doctor was impressed.
Thank you. See, every now and then.
catfish noodling.
Every now and then, see?
He's still just busy looking up Shrek stuff.
I'm done with the rest of the year now, just know. I got the one for the year.
He's not wrong, though. It did come up.
Yeah, Shrekking over. Apparently, it's a new dating phenomenon. Shrekking's popularized by Gen Z daters has swept the internet and divided opinions. Shrekking's when people, usually women, date down and engage in relationships with people who are significantly less attractive than they are in the hopes they will treat them better. So in other words, you pick a nerd and he'll like kiss your ass all this damn time and like do everything you want because you're above his usual level.
A lot of the...
They call it being a sucker.
A lot of the online dating advice coaches, and I use air quotes, relationship coaches, say that I think the secret's out. Don't do that. Because, and a lot of the things will say, even people who are less attractive, they will end up cheating on you because they're not going to go, oh my goodness, this person is amazing. I'm going to treat them well and hang on to them. They say, I am obviously not Shrek because this person is with me.
Right.
And it sort of ups their confidence.
Okay.
And then they begin to engage in
infidelity. Inflates their sense of self.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, you're either with a good person or you're not with a good person.
Right.
Yes.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
My students make fun of me because I say a lot. I say, I have thoughts. It's when there's too many at once.
Gotcha.
So my area of study in couples therapy is that is this idea of interdependence, right? So you can be, we don't exist in a vacuum. You can kind of be who you are, but the people you are around become very influential in who you are, right? So you can be a good person, but if you are with someone who is perpetually a terrible person, you might start to slip. Like, I'm imagining the dad on this Netflix series, Unknown Number, was not a complete oaf and moron. But when you have somebody manipulate you all the time, it kind of begins to affect who you are.
Yeah.
That's one of the most important things, that decision you can make is who you partner with.
Now, let me go back to this, because this guy, if he was not a dope or gullible, he would have seen what we call red flags early. When you're with someone who's that narcissistic and that screwed in the head, who would do something like that, you see red flags. You're like, that doesn't make sense. I'm out of here.
But
you know what I mean?
But think about it. I'm sure you've dated someone who was very good at masking some of those red flags. They don't just show all their red flags all at once, or we would turn and scream, right? They're kind of just little baby flags.
They're little baby flags.
And you make excuses for them over time.
Well, the other thing is it's so good when it's good.
Exactly.
When it's bad, you're like, you know what? We're going to get back to that good thing, and that is so good.
It's around the corner.
It's worth this trouble.
A little rough spot right now.
Yeah.
And they talk about that in narcissistic abuse recovery, is the intermittent reinforcement, right? Is the positives, the times that are so good and they're so meaningful and we hang on to them. It's just sort of over time they become fewer and fewer. But you're still waiting for that first, you know, high of when it was really good.
Have you studied a catfish story that, you know, you're like, whoa, one's really something?
I'm a quantitative researcher, so I like looking more broadly. Like, I like the numbers. But in sessions, I've certainly had some that it just breaks your heart. And it generally, there's one I'm thinking of in particular where...
All right, hold that thought.
Okay.
Talking about catfishing with Dr. Michelle Parker, Associate Professor, Fairfield University, marriage and family therapist.
Yay.
Who... would usually be the victim in a catfish?
We tend to find women are more often the victims.
Okay.
Sorry to say it, but men are generally more often the perpetrator.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. Not uncommon. I'm curious if there is a greater proportion of perpetrators, because the large proportion of men who use online dating at all are men.
If a woman posts a picture of herself that's like 10 years old, is that catfishing?
Exactly. That's what we're doing in our research right now, right? Is people think for a long time the research was, have you ever catfished? And everybody has a different idea of what they consider that, right? And remember, we're talking about impression management as a general quality for perpetration of catfishing. So they know that sounds bad. They're going to say no. But what do you mean by that? Have I presented myself as a completely separate person? Maybe, you know, a different gender, a different age, a different background. But, I mean, if you've seen people that have a picture that is a lot older,
or
20 years older, filters.
The filters. Right. Like, that's not who I signed up for.
Exactly.
Where's that model?
Well, and we do find women who are perpetrators generally misrepresent physical characteristics, right? When men are catfish, they tend to misrepresent financial status.
Right.
Relationship goals. So you'll see them say this recently happened with a friend of mine that lives in the city, and he said, I want monogamy and, you know, a long term relationship. And then after a few dates, no, that's actually not what I want. You know, so that's a version of catfishing. But where do we
wait? It happened to your friend who's a male?
No, woman.
Okay, it happened to. Okay,
yes, because the man,
the guy was like, I want it. Okay.
Because they want women who want monogamy, but then, you know, maybe that's not really what they're interested in.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so you misrepresent that component. When the current study we're working on, we're finding a new trend is that people that use catfishing characteristics are starting to misrepresent their political affiliation and beliefs.
Really?
Yes. To attract partners. So they might hold, you know, very conservative beliefs and or very liberal beliefs, but they're misrepresenting that online to sort of have a different or a larger pool of eligible.
Depending on who they're talking to.
Exactly.
Wouldn't a smart play to... be not to go there.
It would, but I mean, a lot of people now, first date, who did you vote for? What are your beliefs?
They, right,
because
that's
it
crazy.
Has become, right, well, it's in everything we do. And so they want to know right off the bat what your political wow. affiliation is. Huh. And so they're sort of misrepresenting that. They might say they're neutral when they have very clear and strong beliefs somewhere on the political spectrum. Right.
Well, I see some of the things people post.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you lose family members
yeah.
doing that.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yep.
So give us a catfish story that you saw in one of your cases. That was like crazy.
Yeah. This was a client and when I met, this was not in the state of Connecticut, by the way.
Yep.
This was from a different state where I lived a few years ago. And it was Florida. This will not be surprising. You could have pulled that out. But
yeah.
So, you know, they didn't come to therapy. And very often people will not come to therapy for catfishing. Right. It's for the effects of catfishing.
OK.
But it's when, you know, you put a lot of investment and kind of try to see past it.
Oh, okay. So
what
all
was
right.
it, Chaz?
No. I got it. It took me a second to get that. So you'll see them in therapy, not because they're catfishing people.
Right. Or they have been catfished.
They were on the wrong side.
Yeah, the victim of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Either way. Right. So because I work mostly with couples. And so, you know, they'll have stories of the effects of it that can creep up into future relationships. Also sort of that mistrust. But this particular couple, they tried to kind of work through it, which, you know, isn't as common, right? Because one of the...
What was the lie in this catfish?
Financial status, right? And background, which interestingly, it wasn't a lesser than financial status. It was just different. So arguably, it was more protective. Like, I don't know who I'm going to date. I don't want somebody who's going to date me for my occupation and my money. So I'm going to say something is different, right? Also hid a very, we'll say costly addiction.
Oh.
Ooh.
And yeah. And so.
So he was the catfisher.
Yes.
And so he was rich, but he didn't say he was.
Right. Correct. He sort of played
and
that down a
little bit.
And
she had a problem with that?
No. But
that's called hitting the lottery.
Right? Yeah. They did end up getting married, but he did have, he was well off financial means, but he also had a very costly addiction.
Oh,
and so they got married and...
I get hiding that. That's
yeah. And tough. Had instantly found he had a lot of debt. He he gambled
so he
away
rich.
Things.
He was making a lot of money, but losing it all. As fast as he was making it, it was going out the door?
He was old money. That it wasn't an issue, right?
Okay.
But now they're together. And, you know, she, rightfully so, is concerned. If I'm going to be contributing to this financial status, I want to have control of my money.
Yeah.
And so was very concerned about that. And so they were kind of trying to work through the mistrust.
How'd they do? Do you know?
The last I heard, they were still together, struggling. But yeah, so it was kind of just rebuilding trust, which is generally what's missing.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Did he recover from the gambling problem?
He did. Yes.
Great.
Yes,
he ran out of money.
That's a big one.
Yeah, he got
broke.
Gamblers Anonymous was very, very beneficial to him, which. You know, that's not surprising at all. You need that support system. But
you're doing a study now?
I am.
We could participate, by the way.
Uh-oh. Yes. If you've done any online dating at all, been a victim of catfishing, you've catfished others.
What if you had a positive experience?
That's great. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
So you're looking for anyone who's had an online dating experience.
Yes, with people. Because we need, in order to identify what catfishing is, we need to have people that...
On both sides,
don't catfish.
Con,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We like that bell curve distribution in
exactly,
our quantitative
right.
research, right? Yeah.
And your Instagram page, that's where you're connecting with people for this study?
It's one of the means, yes.
Okay.
Also on Reddit, we've posted on a lot of the catfishing Reddit subthreads. My Instagram page is at Professor Parker, and the link is right in the bio where you can click. It's IRB approved through Fairfield. Go Stags.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in. You're great.
Thank
yeah.
You so
Gotta
much.
Have you back soon.
This
oh,
is
yeah.
wonderful.
Dr. Parker.